Welcome to episode 6 of Voices of Divine Wisdom, The Power of Good Deeds. My name is Carolyn Meenan, and I'm on the Board of Trustees at Divine Wisdom Catholic Academy. Here at the Academy, we are committed to sparking minds, enriching souls, and inspiring futures. A key part of our mission is encouraging students to reach beyond the classroom through meaningful service, leadership, and community engagement. We proudly offer students the opportunity to participate in 3 impactful enrichment programs that extend learning through service and leadership: the Lukumi Make a Difference Foundation, the Pope Francis Society, and the Student Government. In this episode, we're excited to highlight the life-changing work of the Lukumi Foundation. You'll hear directly from its founder and president, Nick Koutsouras. Their guidance helped shape our students into compassionate leaders committed to doing good.
Welcome to Voices of Divine Wisdom. Today, we have a very special guest. I'm very excited to introduce everyone to Nick Koutsouras. Please introduce yourself a little bit to us. Who are you and what do you do?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me here today. I've been here several times, as we discussed in the last few years. I am an attorney that had an epiphany a few years ago and have changed my life due to a character in a children's book series that I've written.
Oh, I did not hear this story before. This is interesting.
Okay, yeah. So 20 years ago this month, I was in the kitchen with my wife and someone had brought us back a box of Lukumi candy from Greece. It's actually a candy. It's like a jelly candy with powdered sugar on top. And we joked around. Honest to God, I really don't like the taste of the candy, but I had not tried it since I was a kid. And I said to her, can you just hand me that box? And we joked around and said, wouldn't that make a cute name for a children's book character? So a year later, our son was born and I wanted to write a book just for him and just for me. I didn't have an agent. I didn't have a publisher. I created a character called Lukumi the Lamb, which, like the white powdered sugar on the candy, it's a white fluffy lamb that goes around the world and does good deeds. And I self-published it and sold it out of my garage like Jeff Bezos used to do on Amazon.
Oh, my
and
gosh.
And I sent one copy to the New York Times newspaper. Everybody's like, why are you wasting time sending it? I sent it. The New York Times wrote an article and the book hit number 4 on the Barnes & Noble Children's Book bestseller list.
Wow.
So that was the beginning of all this. There are now 10 books in the series. The second one was about what do you want to be when you grow up? Because like my dream of becoming an author came true unexpectedly. So I started that book and then I did a contest called Dream Day where kids would follow their dream careers, whatever it is that they wanted to be. And that first winner wanted to be a Mars rover engineer. I didn't even know what that was.
Yeah. Seriously.
So I called NASA blindly. I started to panic. How am I going to make this dream day come true? Everybody fell in love with little Sophie from Great Neck, Long Island. And NASA said, you know what? We are landing a spaceship on the planet Mars. This was Memorial Day weekend of 2008. They said, bring her out to our jet propulsion lab in Pasadena, California, and she can sit inside mission control and watch the Phoenix land on the planet Mars.
That's incredible.
I couldn't believe what I was hearing.
Of course.
And it almost didn't happen because the person I spoke to didn't have the authority to make it happen. But it did. It went through. It happened.
Okay,
It was amazing. But I tell you that because when I was out in California, in Pasadena, I had lunch with John Aniston, Jennifer Aniston's father, who was on the Days of Our Lives for many years. He passed away a couple of years ago.
Gotcha.
And he said, I had worked with him on another charity, and he said, this is really cool what you're doing. He goes, I'd like to be part of this in some way. Just let me know. So that was my like 1 second opportunity I said, how about you and your daughter, Jennifer, who was at the peak of Friends at the time, narrate the next Lukumi book on CD. These were CDs back at the time. Kids today look at the CDs on the inside of books.
Yeah, no idea.
They're like, what is this Frisbee? You know. So we recorded I asked them, and 3 weeks later, I'm driving home from my legal job in Manhattan, and the cell phone rings in the car, and John Aniston said, Jen will do it. And I almost drove off the road.
Yeah, you know? Of course.
So that book is called Lukumi's Good Deeds. Okay. And it teaches kids the simple lesson of looking in your heart and doing whatever good deed it is that matters to you. So like the Dream Day program, I wanted to create a program that mirrored the lesson in the book. So I started a program called Make a Difference with Lukumi Day in 2008, where we have kids go out one day a year and do good in the world. The first year, we had about 1,000 kids. By 2014, we were working with 40,000 kids.
Wow.
And we received an award from the Points of Light organization. It was incredible. It was down in Washington, D.C. The host of the Today Show presented the award, and I was just so blown away that day that on the train ride back to New York, I said to my wife, I said, this is more than a children's book series. This is a foundation. So we started the Lukumi Make a Difference Foundation in 2014.
Got it.
And now we're working with 150,000 children in 30 countries around the world.
Yeah, that's incredible. Because I remember we, in the school here at Divine Wisdom, we had guest students from Italy. I know they took a tour around the school. They got to meet some of the students. They even got to visit a homeless shelter
right.
in the nearby
sure.
area. Really incredible, very impactful experience. That was an incredible story. First of all, thank you for...
It's all true.
I believe you.
I couldn't have planned it if I tried.
I mean, thank you for making my life easier. You've already answered the first three questions on my list. So that's incredible. From the makings of a children's storybook to the non-for-profit organization that it is with, you said, 30 schools across the world.
No, it's actually 300 schools.
Oh, 300, sorry.
In 30 countries. Yeah.
Didn't mean to undersell you. Yeah. 300 schools around the world, 30 countries. That's what you said. What is the core mission of the foundation currently in 2025 now?
Sure. So I think what differentiates us from other charities encouraging kids to do service is that we encourage kids, we don't tell them what to do. We ask them, how do you want to make a difference in
cool.
the world? So that it's something that's passionate to them, something that they're interested in. And then what happens is philanthropy becomes fun for them and not forced.
Mm-hmm.
So when I go to schools, I ask them, I say, how do you want to make a difference in the world? And we try to narrow it down into 8 categories: helping the homeless, helping the environment, helping animals, helping seniors in nursing homes, pediatric cancer patients. We do a big project that I know Divine Wisdom has worked on mm-hmm. for St. Jude Children's Research Hospital.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we have making a difference through the arts. You know, if someone likes to paint or draw or sing or dance, they use that talent to make a difference in the world. Making a difference through sports, using their talents in sports to either doing classes or having equipment drives. And then the catch-all, making a difference for any other cause that matters to you. And what happens, as I said, is then philanthropy becomes fun for them. And we just published a research study, which a couple of hundred of the Divine Wisdom students participated in. We interviewed over 1,000 kids in 20 countries.
Oh, wow.
To show the impact of doing good. What is the impact of doing good on the child, on the student? And over 90% of the kids responded that doing good makes them happier, increases their self-esteem, improves
sure.
their mental health, gives them purpose in life, and that purpose, they feel, over 85% say that they feel they're better students because of that.
Mm-hmm.
Because, forget better people, obviously they're better people also, they feel, but also better students because they have more confidence, they're more empowered that they can change the world
yeah.
and make a difference.
That's an incredible way to distill the impact of something like this, where, of course, it's very obvious the benefits of doing this kind of charitable work. The 8 categories you mentioned, like homeless and food and shelter, things like that, are really tangible. But to really describe it in a way that not only gives to a community in need, but almost in as much gives back to the person that is giving, I think in my mind, that's what even the academic experience is about. A lot of teachers and students working together. The teachers are giving a lot of knowledge to the students. But I also find, as a teacher, in my own experiences at least, that I also gain knowledge and experience and a benefit from passing on that knowledge. It's always this give and take. And that's beautiful.
Absolutely. And it takes a school like Divine Wisdom to understand that and believe in it.
Yeah.
Because believe it or not, not every school, they understand what you're trying to do, that you're trying to, you know, teach children about community service
sure.
and about philanthropy. But some schools are like, well, you know what? We love what you're doing, but we just don't have the time. You know?
Right, because you're asking for something from them.
Right.
And that's why it's important. You can make this tangible case that it is actually giving back to themselves as well. Like it is actually benefiting.
Absolutely. It's helping the students exponentially. And then what they're doing is they're inspiring other kids. And it's a ripple effect. Mm-hmm. And that's how this has grown, as I mentioned, to 150,000 kids.
Yeah.
It's just people say, how do you get a school or how do you get a kid involved? It just happening organically now.
That's actually what my next question was going to be. How does that conversation go if you're going to reach out to or communicate with a new school, or if you wanted to find new schools and students? How does that relationship start? Does it start with Lukumi reaching out to them, or do they reach out to you? And maybe can you give us a little insight into how it started with Divine Wisdom?
I always say it's not one size fits all. There's always a different way how you're going to meet somebody. Sometimes people have come to me. Sometimes I've reached out to people if there's an area that we want to grow in. Just yesterday, I had a call with a school in Brazil that wants to get involved. Tomorrow night, I have a Zoom with 8 schools in Japan.
Wow.
And there's a family friend whose daughter is teaching at a school in Japan now. So I just said, you know, what do they do? What grade is it? And they got me in touch, and now we're working with 8 schools in Japan. And because of the time difference,
amazing.
It's 13 hours difference.
I'm sure.
So I'm going to be on this assembly at 11:30 at night.
Wow.
But it's great. It's exhilarating.
Yeah, of course.
Great to, you know, to be able to work with all these kids. And with Divine Wisdom, we work with a lot of the Catholic schools. In fact, most of the Catholic schools in the New York Archdiocese and the Diocese of Brooklyn.
Gotcha.
And one of our board members, Eileen and Gary Franklin, have sponsored the Lukumi books to go into all of the Catholic schools. They pick a different diocese every year. So it's about 10 dioceses, and the Diocese of Brooklyn is one of them. So when we were working with all of these schools, we were actively looking for a school to represent the Diocese of Brooklyn, and Divine Wisdom was that school.
Oh, nice.
And it's just been an incredible partnership.
Yeah, for sure. From my point of view, providing tech for the school over the past few years, every event I've come in and I've seen, and all of the students that are talking, the different schools that have called in from all around the country, just to see it from my point of view, from the outside, it's remarkable. And also just how quickly Divine Wisdom seems to have been integrated into Lukumi's vision and their plan. It's really great.
Yeah, and Divine Wisdom is part of our International Good Deed Council of schools. So we work with 300 schools globally, but we have 15 schools who are on a Good Deed Council. Japan, India, Uganda, Tanzania,
wow.
Greece, Italy, Germany, Spain, Puerto Rico, across the US, Canada, and with more to follow. And what we do is we meet with these kids on Zoom once a month across 18 hours of time zones. So it's like it's 5:30 in the morning in LA and it's 10:30 at night in Japan and everywhere in between. And what these kids do, including Divine, and we've hosted with you, we've hosted these a couple of times here virtually around the world. And what the kids do is they get on and first, they talk about their countries or their cultures, like the Divine Wisdom kids talked about Christmas in Rockefeller Center.
That's
the Christmas
right. Yeah,
tree.
Yeah, yeah.
Then we hear about what it's like to celebrate Christmas in Lake Como, Italy, or the holiday of Diwali in India.
Ah, that's so cool.
And then they talk about the good deeds that they're working on in their communities. And then at the end of the call, all the kids together will work on global good deed projects that they can all do collaboratively together. So it's really an incredible experience. And just recently, we had our Good Deeds Summit in New York, where the kids from Italy actually, like you mentioned, visited here. But we had kids from all over the world here for 6 days.
Wow.
And it was incredible.
When did the Good Deeds Council start?
So the Good Deed Council started about when my life changed.
Okay.
So I was a practicing attorney for 28 years. I was general counsel of a company in New York City. And at the same time, this Lukumi program just kept growing like on a parallel track. And I always wondered if I would ever take it and do it full time and make that plunge. And about 3 years ago, a friend of mine came to me and he was an executive at BlackRock, the financial company.
Okay.
And he comes to me and he says, Nick, I've left my job. And
oh, wow.
I said, wow. I said, why would you leave? I said, you were very successful there. You had like 100 people working for you. You seemed to like it. He goes, you know, Nick, he goes, you get to a point in your life where if you're lucky, you have one good act left. And those words haunted me for about 3 months. You know, I'm not young, I'm not old, I'm, mm-hmm. you know, but
living your life.
You're living your life, but the time is now to do something. Right. So I had a conversation with my wife and I made the decision. And a little over 2 years ago, I left that job. And one of the first things we did was start the Good Deed Council. And we started with about 5 schools. Now we're up to 15. And within the next couple of years, I want to grow this to about 50 schools worldwide. And we're energized by the Good Deed Summit that we had here in mm-hmm. New York that Divine Wisdom participated in. And next year, the summit's going to be in Lake Como, Italy. And the year after, it's going to be in Japan. The year after, in Ireland.
That's such a great thing. I mean, especially the cultural sharing aspect of it is always such a valuable thing. But to unite around the idea, I mean, just even the words, like just a good deed, a shared idea across every culture is really cool. I had heard that there's also these good deed bus tours. Tell me a little bit about that. And what is the goal for those as far as what they're teaching students and what they might take out of those experiences?
Yeah, the Good Deed Bus is like an equivalent to like an alternative to a class trip. So mm-hmm. what we do, they started in New York about 10 years ago, and now we've done them in about 12 cities around the world. Many of the Divine Wisdom students participated in our New York bus last October. And then we had 3 buses when we had everybody here for the Good Deed Summit. Basically, you get a school bus, a yellow school bus, you fill it with kids, and you pick 3 stops during the day. Sometimes you'll go to a park or a beach and you'll do a cleanup project. You'll go to a nursing home and perform or bring cards. You'll go to a homeless shelter and you'll bring food, or an animal shelter and bring supplies. And what's great is it offers something for everyone. The kids are there with their friends. They're having fun. And again, it goes to the premise that philanthropy can be fun. Mm-hmm. But it's collaborative. It's rewarding. And the kids get to see the animals, or they make friends with a resident in a nursing home, or they'll plant a tree in the park. And it's really just a great experience that we've been doing, and we're going to continue to do and grow the program.
I just want to ask what feels like the obvious question, but to you personally, I mean, you told me you spent 25 years as an attorney, and now you've had this big change where you're committing so much time and energy into this foundation now. I just want to ask directly, like, how do you feel moving from one to the other? Like, is there anything you regret having moved on, or is this just like fully rewarding? Like, tell me a little bit about how it is in here, like inside your head.
I've never been happier in my life. I get up in the morning and every day is a blue sky. I can't wait to get to work.
Wow.
I worked in a job, which was a good job. It supported my family, but at the end of the day, I didn't feel enriched. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel like, what did I really accomplish? And now on a daily basis, I'm reaching out and I'm getting in touch with kids, and I see the impact. One story that I always tell about a kid, people say, what's the impact on kids? So I mentioned our Dream Day program. We had that girl, Sophie. So our second Dream Day winner was a boy named Lionel, also from Long Island. And he wanted to become a soccer player. So I had arranged back in 2008 for him to be a soccer star. And he played with the New York Red Bulls at Giant Stadium.
Oh, cool.
It was really cool. And he and his family, and we became very close, and they would come to all our Lukumi events for the next couple of years. And then there was silence. I would reach out by text, email, and no phone calls. Mm-hmm. I didn't hear from them for almost 2 years. 18 months go by, and Lionel's mother calls me and says, I apologize that we haven't been in touch, but Lionel was in the hospital. He had cancer.
Oh, wow.
And she said, that's why we didn't get in touch. And she tells me the story that when he was in the hospital, the Make-A-Wish Foundation came to him and said, we would like to make your wish come true, Lionel. What would you like? And he said, I want to go to Disneyland Paris with my family. And they said, great.
Okay.
When you're feeling better, your cancer's in remission, we're going to send you all expenses paid to Disneyland Paris. So 2 years go by, Lionel's cancer's in remission. They're like, okay, Lionel, when do you want to go? And he said, you know what? He goes, I changed my mind. He said, when I was in the hospital, there was an organization called Friends of Karen that helped me and my family financially and emotionally get through my cancer diagnosis. He said, don't waste $10,000 or whatever on a trip to Disneyland Paris. Instead, I want my Make-A-Wish to be a donation that you make to this organization that helped me when I was in the hospital.
Wow.
Now, I don't think I would turn down a trip to Disneyland Paris. And here's this 13, 14-year-old kid who went through his cancer treatments, changed that, and he and his mother called me up to tell me that it was because of what he learned through the Lukumi Foundation that made him think this way. So that's the impact here.
Right, and it speaks to exactly what you're talking about. I do love like the personal story of, honestly, I'm happy for you and proud for you that you have such an opportunity to enrich your life. But exactly like you were saying, when you put up one against the other, an opportunity to go to Disney World Paris, which is fascinating and interesting and probably a lot of fun, or just one opportunity to support one charitable organization, and for, like you said, a 13 or 14-year-old to choose the charitable donation as the experience that they want more than a trip to Disneyland. I mean, that I think that is such a great metaphor, such a great example, not even a metaphor.
It sums it all up. And now Lionel at 27 years old is on our Lukumi Foundation board.
Amazing. Yeah. That's incredible. That's so great. That's, you know, you're really making this so easy for me. And I do appreciate this.
I've got 100 so stories like that, maybe 1,000. So. Well,
that alone, I think really speaks to the kind of impact that's been happening. I mean, to me, the Lukumi Foundation, I've only had occasional dealings with over the last couple of years, but this is really invested over the last decade, 11 years, I think you said?
Yeah, for the foundation and the books going back 20 years. And, none of this was planned. None of this was expected. I always tell kids, if there's something you want to do in your life, you go after it because you never know where that road is going to take you. I like to write. I wanted to write a children's book for my son. Never did I expect that it would turn into a foundation where I'd be traveling around the world and working with kids to do good in the world. You never know where life's going to take you.
Right. But if you chase the itch just a little bit and see where it goes, it might turn into something like this.
Right.
And the global impact is just so impressive. And it's so cool to see that. Tell me, now that we've reached this point, we've talked a little bit about the present day. What's next for the Lukumi Foundation? What are we seeing in the future with Divine Wisdom, but also for you and Lukumi?
Yeah, well, next is, as I mentioned, we just finished our summit. We just published our second Inspiring Stories book as well with many of the children from Divine Wisdom. I just want to keep growing this. People are calling it a Lukumi good deed movement. I want the 150,000 kids that we work within 5 years to be 1 million kids. Mm-hmm. I want the 300 schools we work with to be 1,000 schools. I just want it to keep growing because, as we said, with this ripple effect, kids may not be able to change the world, but they can change their worlds. Mm-hmm. And then slowly, one good deed at a time, they are changing the world. And there's such a need for this. As we mentioned, there's a need for the recipients of the good deeds, but there's also a need for the children. And Divine Wisdom is really an anchor in this on our Good Deed Council. And Principal Bonici and Laura DiMarcello and Bob Sherling, they've been so supportive. And all the kids, too. Some of the kids are graduating this year because they're in the eighth grade. And they're upset because they're not going to be part of it. So what we're doing in the fall is we're going to have an alumni group.
Oh, very good.
For any kids that have graduated from any of the schools that we work with. And I'm committed to once a month have another Zoom on a Saturday, so it doesn't conflict with school schedules, where we can have this additional group where these kids can continue to stay involved.
And I love that that is inspired not by just trying to keep people involved, but just by a genuine interest of these students graduating, still looking to stay involved and just creating that opportunity for them.
Well, like I said, because it's fun for them too. That's the main difference is that we look for things where kids can do something that they're passionate about. And I find also I work with a lot of underserved communities. So I work with the Boys and Girls Club of Queens and a lot of other, schools and underserved communities. And in those communities, especially, a lot of the kids feel powerless and feel like they can't make a difference. And everybody's always trying to do something for them, which is great. But the one detriment to that is when you're always doing something for someone, you're almost enabling them a little.
Right, taking power out of their hands
right.
a little bit.
And when I tell them, you can make a difference, they're like, no, we can't make a difference. And I said, of course you can. I said, what matters to you? Do you want to help the homeless, this, that? And one little girl raised her hand once. She goes, I want to help the homeless. And I said, why? And she said, because my mother was homeless once. And then we did a project together, and it was like magic. You see her come out of her shell, and like I said, the self-esteem and the empowerment that they can actually make a difference in someone's life is amazing.
And it's like you said from the beginning, starting by asking the student from their point of view how they want to contribute instead of imposing an idea on them. Yeah, I can see like it gives them the opportunity to think for themselves and give their ideas merit, which is a very empowering thing.
Absolutely. It's their voice.
That's incredible.
And how they want to change the world.
With this unique opportunity that we have on this show, I'm curious if there were any parents, staff, or students, perhaps let's just say if this was their first time hearing about this organization, where would you suggest pointing them if they wanted to learn more or participate?
Well, if they're part of a school that already participates, they should speak to their, you know, the educators that are involved and get involved. There's always an opportunity. We will never turn anybody away. There's always an open door for them to be able to do something. If it's someone outside, maybe where their school is not involved,
sure.
that's why we are doing this kind of catch-all program in the fall to invite students who are either graduates or students that maybe their school doesn't participate in. And if their school doesn't participate, then I encourage the kids to speak to their educators and get them involved.
Yeah. Perhaps there's a way to get them involved. That sounds great. Nick, thank you so much for joining us. This was such a great conversation. I love all of this. But before I let you go, at this point, I think I'm contractually obligated to ask every guest now if you could share one fun fact that other people, maybe in the school that you interact with, what's something that they don't know about you that you'd be willing to share?
I'm a big Mets fan.
Oh, no.
I think that's okay.
You're in good company.
Yeah. Well, listen, the school's in Queens, so I got...
It does help. That's true.
Big Mets fan. Just love hanging out with my family. I'm a big beach person. Just try to do some things that... that make, for lack of a better word, that make a difference in the world, because it's rewarding for not only the kids that I work with, but it's really rewarding for me too.
And it really your passion and your care for that objective really shows through. That's really great. The Mets are doing well this season, so hopefully
great.
They keep
that
up.
Yeah.
Nick, thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate you having on the show, and maybe we'll be able to do this again sometime.
Thank you. Always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, Nick.
Hi, my name is Sophia Starsick, and I'm in grade 8 at the Divine Wisdom Catholic Academy. Thank you for joining us today on Voices of Divine Wisdom, The Power of Good Deeds. As a student who's part of the Lukumi program, I'm proud to be involved in something that helps us give back and grow as leaders. We're so thankful for our amazing teachers, our partnership with the Lukumi Foundation, and the inspiring work of Mr. Nick Katsouris. If today's episode inspired you, I encourage you to visit lukumifoundation.org to learn more. There, you can find ways to get involved, and if you're able, consider donating to support programs like the St. Jude Children's Research Hospital Treatment Room, the Good Deed Bus Tours, and the Dream Day Program. The Lukumi Foundation shows students like me that it's never too early to make a difference. Together, we can keep making the world a better place, one good deed at a time.
Suzanne Carl is our executive producer. Recording, editing, mixing, and mastering by Tony DiToronto. Bob Sherling is the chairperson at Divine Wisdom Catholic Academy. Miriam Benici is the principal. Music by Maria Caputo. Logo created by Queen Snoopy. Special thanks this week to Nick Katsouris, Carolyn Meenan, and Sophia Starsick. And I'm your host, Alex Sherling. Voices of Divine Wisdom podcast is recorded at Divine Wisdom Catholic Academy in beautiful Queens, New York. This has been a Pixel Noise podcast. To learn more, go to pixelnoise.tech. That's pixelnoise.tech.